Well, first of all, I want to say it's been a blessing to be with you all this week. I appreciate the opportunity of coming down here speaking to you, and I hope what you have heard will help your life. And let's all go through Psalm 56 and verse 3 for this time, okay? Good and loud.
Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee.
Now, I talked with a man before the service about your daughter with clear here. He told me interesting. I thought it was very interesting teaching you this verse. His daughter, when she was on her own, she was had a couple other roommates, that's correct, and they, but they were all gone, and she came home one night, and the door was open on her apartment. And so she said, you know, when she saw this, she thought someone broke in, because she first called her dad and asked, you know, how to get a gun permit, all this. And but then she said, Dad, you know, when I saw that, she said, the first thing that came to my heart, she said, I quoted Psalm 56, verse 3.
Amen.
Watch out, I'm afraid I will trust in thee.
Amen.
Now, I appreciate him sharing that with me, because that's what you've learned. And now, that's what happened. It's going to happen like that in your life. Something's going to come just like that. And so I hope that this verse will be a real help to your life, okay?
Amen.
Now, take your Bible and go with me to Matthew chapter 16, if you will, please. Matthew 16. And I want to bring a message to you on the three dimensions of personal discipline. You find Matthew 16, verse 24. Let's all stand, please. I want to read Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, and take his cross, and follow me. Our dear Father, we thank you today for the word of God, and we pray, Lord, that the message would be one that you could help us to ponder and weigh very heavily, apply to our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Ian Bounds, a great man of God, made this statement. He said, you cannot be a disciple without being a disciplined one. And so really, a disciple is a disciplined person. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take his cross and follow me. And I think, men, it's very crucial that there are three crucial areas in our lives that we need to be disciplined. And I want to address that this morning. The first area that we must be disciplined with, men, is with our mind. Isaiah 26, 3 says, thou will keep them at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And so, men, we realize today how crucial it is that we discipline our mind. You know why? The great battlefield for all of us is the mind. And if your mind is not disciplined, you're going to fight, you're going to have a struggle all of your journey through this world. But how does a person discipline the mind? Well, first of all, by the memorization of God's word. You know, Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, it's very crucial that we realize the memorization of the Word of God. God gave us His Word that we could hide in our heart for one purpose, that we might not sin against Him. And so this needs to be a matter in our lives. Now, when I first got saved, a man of God got me memorizing the Bible. My Sunday school teacher, Mr. Paul Phillips in West Virginia. And you know what? It was a wonderful journey. And today, I'm still memorizing the Bible. And I think it's very crucial for all of us to realize there's something lacking in our lives whenever we try to cope with these things that battle our mind and our own energy. We cannot do that. We need to use the authority of God's Word. So you discipline the mind by the memorization of God's Word. But second of all, by the meditation of God's Word. Psalm 119, 97 says, oh, how love I thy law, is my meditation all the day. You know, the meditation all the day, you know, meditation really is you bringing up something and just going over and over in your heart. For example, when I first moved to South Carolina, I was not raised with cattle, by the way, in West Virginia. But we had, you know, chickens and roosters and pigs, all that stuff, but no cows. And my neighbor had cattle right next to my home in Star. And so I'd go, and by the way, a lot of times I study till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, because that's my makeup. I'm a night person, okay? And every time I go outside, I saw these cows always, you know, chewing, always eating. And so I wonder if those cows are eating out there at 2 o'clock in the morning. I go out there, turn the light on, guess what they're doing? They're eating. They're chewing, you know. Why? Because God has gifted the cow with 4 stomachs. And they're able to bring up that food that they ate, and they can go over it. And that's what meditation is. Bringing up and going over it. Bringing up the Word of God and going over it. Many years ago, I was preaching at a large preacher's meeting in the state of Illinois. And at the close of the session, the men want to ask me questions. And so one man of God, one pastor said, Brother Jerry, I'd like to ask you a question. He said, what about this man? And I won't mention the man's name. He said, what about this man who memorized 7,000 verses? Has a book written about him entitled The Walking Bible. And then he said, however, Brother Jerry, this man now praises the Pope. He says his best friends are the charismatics. He said, how can a man go in that direction who has memorized 7,000 verses? And I said to him and to all the men, I said, men, he may have memorized 7,000 verses, but it's very obvious he's never meditated on those 7,000 verses.
Amen.
Nowhere in the Bible does God say he'll make you a success by the memorization of God's Word. The devil can quote the Bible. He can memorize the Bible, but he cannot meditate upon the Word of God. You see, the success is in the meditation of God's Word. That's Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so the meditation of the Word of God is very crucial. You know what? I had a son one time that he gassed it. Todd and my other son, Grant, went down on their bicycles. I think Todd was maybe about 11. I think Grant was 9. And I gave them money to go to this little store down there in Star to buy some candy, you know, and so forth, and have a good time. And so I'm in the house, and Todd comes running in the house. Running in the house. Dad, where are you, Dad? I said, here's Todd, what is it? He said, Dad, Grant wrecked his bicycle. Now, Todd was so excited that when the wreck was about probably close to half a mile away, instead of Todd getting back on the bicycle coming home, he was so excited, he just ran all the way home. And there's a man got Brent in his arms, and Brent's head's all gushed open. Well, we go down there, and we had to put Brent in the back of our car and take him to the hospital. And so here Brent is in the back. They're lying down, and Sharon on the front seat taking the hospital. And all the way to the hospital, you know what he's quoting? He's quoting Psalm 56:3. What time? I'm afraid. I'm a trust in thee. Going over and over that verse. The doctor sewed his head up. And the doctor said, no, it's not amazing about your boy. I said, what? He didn't cry. He said, he was quoting a Bible verse all the time. A Bible verse. You know what he was doing? Brent was putting into practice what I am teaching you guys. You know? And so it's very crucial, man, if we're going to have a disciplined mind. Have a mind that is memorizing and then meditating on the Word of God so we can apply it to our daily walk, okay? But then, second of all, we've got to discipline the body. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and not your own? For you bought the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, the extent that God will use me depends on how much I yield my body unto Him. Now, my body is not a showcase. Neither is my body a garbage dump. My body is a temple. And that goes for you. And therefore, God is to be glorified in this body. So how do I discipline the body? Well, first of all, in the matter of eating. In eating. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so, men, we need to be disciplined in the matter of our eating. You know, Dr. Bob Jordan, a great man of God from Lansdale, Pennsylvania, a man that I had several meetings with, a great, wonderful man of God. Dr. Bob Jordan, I were talking one day, and he said to me, you know, Jerry, we need to get to the place where we tell our body what to do and not our body telling us what to do. Now, you know, so often our body, we eat a big meal and then we go home and after we eat the big meal, a big Sunday meal, about an hour later, your stomach says, I'm getting hungry, feed me. And what do? We say, okay, stomach. And we feed our stomach. We lie down the rest. And so you set your alarm clock to get up in the morning at a certain time. So you set your alarm clock goes off, you sit in bed, your body says, lie back down. And you say, okay, body, we lie back down. You know, your body has you trained. Your body's put a hook or a ring in your nose, and your body just pulls you around. And your body says you heal. You go, and you heal. You know. Your body is controlling you. You've not come to a place where you tell your body what to do. Is that biblical? 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You know what? Many years ago, my wife, it's when soft drinks begin to go up, you know, in price. I came home, I was so upset. I said, Sharon, I should stop drinking soft drinks. You know, she said to me, she said, well, Jerry, I bet you can't do it for a year. I said, but okay, I'll prove I can do that, Jerry. She challenged me. So what did I do? For 1 year, no soft drinks. At the end of the first year, I said, well, Sharon, I told you I could do it for a year. She said, I bet you can't do it for another year. 2 years. Well, you know what? I'm a runner now, so I don't drink soft drinks. I haven't for a number of years, over 27 years. I don't miss it. Nothing wrong with salt, please. This is the sake of illustration. For me, the reason because of the running and so forth, all right? When Todd and Brent and Scott were little boys, I'd say to my boys, I'd say, boys, if you stop drinking soft drinks, no dad will do for you. What, Dad? I'll give you guys so much money. No. Yeah. You don't drink any soft drinks for 6 months, I'll give you this much money. Well, you know what? Those boys got for soft drink for 6 months. You know what, men? I save more money giving them money, a certain amount of money, than them buying and drinking soft drinks. What was I trying to? But I was trying to begin a principle in the lives of them, you know, curbing the appetites of the body. You know what? I think that's crucial in our lives. And so, the discipline of the body is by eating, but second of all, by exercise. As you run up 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. But there is profit in exercise, there really is.
Yep.
About all mercy. Let's see, it's got to be over 37 years ago. I was a little heavy. And a good friend of mine named Dr. Tom Zempel, who was a youth pastor in Danville, Illinois, he said, Jerry, I was saying in his home, he said, Jerry, would you like to go running with me? I said, yeah, I'd like to go running with you. Well, in high school, I was the fastest runner in high school, and all the sports I played, you know. But you know what? I got an evangelism, people putting all this food in me, and I was blocking like a rose, you know. So Tom, we go to run 3 miles before breakfast. Well, you know, I'm determined I'm going to run 3 miles. I hadn't run for years.
Oh, boy.
I got by the house, it about killed me. I'm telling you, I didn't let him know that, but it killed me. You know what? I can hardly hold it to get up to 4 to eat my breakfast that morning. You know what? But then I began to run, and I began to run more. And then I was challenged to run by my good Tom. My good friend Tom, he said, "Jerry, I like challenging to run a marathon." And that challenged me, so I began preparing for a marathon. And you know what? I've been running all these years. I want to tell you what this is a medical report. It's not Jerry Savinsky. You cannot be healthy without some form of exercise. Now, you know, my wife and I were watching a program on TV about a year ago or so, and it was really shocking. They went to a nursing home, and they showed, now we're not making fun right now, but they showed people walking like this, you know, in the nursing home. They walk like that. And for 1 year, what they did, they took those people. They, first of all, they you know, this was all documented. They took, you know, videos of them walking like this. Then they had them doing this. They had these men and ladies lifting a one-pound weight, just one-pound weights. And then they had them just lifting their legs, first of all, just real small like this, you know, like that. And then they were kicking their legs higher and higher. After 1 year, they showed the other video of these people walking like this, and they were now walking like this. You know why? Because of the exercise. You know the old adage, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And then as a person gets older, there has to be some form of exercise. Now, let me say this to you. We don't exercise to impress people, you know, to brag about it. We exercise for one reason. I've got one body for God to use me. If God's going to use me, I have to discipline this body and keep it under control. And that goes for all of us in this room. And so, this crucial that we exercise, this keep this body where it should be. And by the way, when I'm studying a lot of times, you know what I do? I got a regimen. And I don't want to go what I do, okay? But I do a certain regimen of push-ups and sit-ups on a regular basis, you know, on a weekly basis. I've been for years. Now, where I am, it took me a long time to get where I am, okay? But I'm doing something. It could be walking. It could be running. And by the way, another thing interesting, in this report, medical report, they mentioned about walking 4 miles versus a person who walks like 1 or 2 miles. And here's what they said in that report. If, let's say, I walk 2 miles and you walk 4 miles, my chance of getting cancer or dying is greater than you. Mm-hmm. There's something about walking 4 miles, they say, that's so good for a person. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so, it's crucial that you realize there's something about exercising that's good for you. Now, I run. If I run 4 miles and you walk 4 miles, did you know this? You and I will burn the same amount of calories. What's the catch? Well, the catch is this. If I run even a slow, like 9 miles a mile, 9 minutes a mile, that's 36 minutes, you know. If I do it 8 minutes, that's going to be 32 minutes, but it's going to take you at least an hour and 10 to 15 minutes to walk. A 15-mile pace is a good pace for a mile, okay? And so if you walk 4 miles, it's going to take you an hour. It's going to take, it takes probably half. Only it's going to take you longer to burn off the calories, but you will equally burn off the calories as I do. And so, man, I'm just saying this. Whatever you like, if it's lifting weights, if it's sit-ups, push-ups, crunches, whatever you do, bicycling, you know, running, hiking, whatever, you've got to realize something in your life is missing in the discipline of your body without some form of exercise. Okay? Third of all, we discipline the heart. You know, the Word of God tells us in Deuteronomy, we're to love the Lord with all our hearts. And it's crucial that I have a heart that's disciplined with my Lord. And how do you go about doing that, Brother Jerry? Well, first of all, by worshiping Him. You know, Psalm 63, verse 1 says, "O God, Thou art my God. Earlier I seek Thee, my soul thirsts for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee, the dry and thirsty land where no water is." You know, it's very crucial, men, that we worship the Lord. Worship really is you stopping and you just looking and just meditating and dwelling on who He is. A God of such love, because He is love. A God who's so tender. Who wants His best for His children. I want my best for my boys. I want my best for my daughter. And they're constantly on my heart. And as a father, you know, loves his children, as you love your children, you want the best for your children. God wants the very best for your life. You know, the children are on my mind all the time, just like with you. And you know, the Lord loves us. And I am to worship Him. My mind is to be thinking on who He is, His omnipotence, His all-powerful. Whatever I need, His power is greater. You know, He's a God. He's a God who's all knowledge. He knows every need of my life. He's a God who's omniscient. You know, He's always with me. And so what a great thrill to realize. I can worship my Lord. And I tell you, something's missing in our lives when we're always asking God for things. We need to stop and say, Lord, you know, I just want to tell you how much I love you. And I want to dwell. I just, Lord, let you know how much I'm grateful for the great love you have for me. That you put up with me. You're so patient with me. Your tenderness, your gentleness, your kindness, your provision, your protection, and all these things. Worshiping Him. I tell you, that's crucial, man. But then second of all, the disciplined heart is by witnessing for Him. You know, Acts 1:8 said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. And so we're supposed to be a witness. It's crucial, men, that if I worship my Lord, I'm going to have my heart open in telling others about Him. That's absolutely crucial. I need to be soul conscious. I need to be looking for the opportunity of being able to tell other people about my blessed Lord. After all He's done for me, why should I be silent? And every one of us in this room, we ought to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You know people that I'll never meet. Everyone has their circle of friends and influence. And so, who's going to reach them? They're going to be reached by a person who worships the Lord, and out of that worship and love and affection and devotion to the Lord, they'll express that love and that affection and that devotion to others. You are not responsible for their response. You're responsible of being a witness for your Savior. You hear me? And I'm telling you right now, we're losing something in our lives when we have a shut mouth with a locked gate on it. We never tell others about our Savior. Mm-hmm. And it just, I think, and I hate to say this to you kindly, it's often an indication of our devotion and our worship to the Lord. And I hope, men, today that you'll take this from my heart. I'm here not to give you guys a guilt trip, honestly. I'm here to tell you from the Word of God, this message is absolutely crucial. You see, if you're disciplined in one area of your life, then 2/3 of your life is still suffering. If you're disciplined in 2 areas of your life, still 1/3 part of your life, that's a big part. So, men, what we want to work on is this. We want to work on a balance. So often, guys get so unbalanced, you know. Mm-hmm. Some guys, all they are just, you know, exercising, you know, and all this strict and eating and exercising, that's all. The other two parts of life is just nothing but disaster. And other guys, they're just in these 2 areas, and this area is really a crucial part. And so, men, I'm saying from my heart to your heart, take this message and apply it as you serve your wonderful Savior, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that we'll weigh heavy as you work us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We ask in Christ's name.